2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The vaping industry.
We have become your resource for all things vape, Dave.
We are kind of de facto vape experts.
Okay, lots of new developments to talk about on the vape front this morning. Vape shops catching a break. There was an emergency rule to deal with the vape crisis set to go into effect today. The health department has delayed enforcement for 2 weeks to give vape shops some time to comply. Now, let's review. That rule will require vape shops to post warning signs about the dangers of vaping, THC in particular, and force grocery and convenience stores to stop selling vape juices.
Yeah, it does feel like this little 2 weeks is, hey guys, hurry, give it to the hoarders. Like, make sure you sell it off to the hoarders so people can hoard their lime, mango, cherry flavor, whatever it is. That is not a mix that I would ever be interested in. Anyway, there's a lot of things we're going to hit catch up on.
Yeah, sure.
Is this the only break they're going to catch, mm-hmm. or will there be another delay next week? The emergency rule should become a state law. Should it become a state law with penalties? And in the next segment, I'm intrigued to learn more about how vape shops are getting around the rules to set up shop closer to kids' schools.
Oh, yeah. You got to stay tuned. We got some good stuff to talk about. But let's first bring in Representative Norm Thurston. He's representative here on Utah's Capitol Hill. He's live in studio. Welcome to KSL News Radio, Representative.
Thank you for having me.
So give us the very latest with the health department's delay of enforcement of its emergency rule. Were you surprised at all to see them delay that?
I wasn't surprised to see them. I was surprised to see them do the emergency rule, but I wasn't surprised to see them delay it.
Because you were surprised that they actually moved to create an emergency rule, which would have, it makes grocery stores and convenience stores stop selling vape juices and makes vape shops put up warning signs.
Yeah, I was a little surprised because we haven't really heard much from them. I mean, it's been kind of a quiet thing, and it's kind of takes a while to figure out, but they were able to act quickly on this and get it done, and that's a good surprise.
I wonder, have they really acted quickly? Because this has been a conversation up on the Hill for a while now.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. In fact, we had a bill last session that would have done exactly this, and we got it through the House and it stalled in the Senate. This isn't a new topic. The idea of flavors.
Why did it stall, first of all? I'm curious why it stalled, because everybody is on the vape train now. Everybody is coming out denouncing it and talking about how dangerous it is. Why didn't something get done earlier?
Well, there wasn't the public pressure then than there is now. And in the last week of the session, it was one of those last week bills. It just didn't get prioritized towards the top and just didn't make it out of the Senate in time. So
remember, they were busy dealing with the state sales tax issue.
And the state dinosaur. Or reptile, or whatever that thing
and
was.
And the state flag.
Yeah.
And you actually were behind pushing for this legislation. You were behind it to get through in the last session. What did you think when it just went nowhere?
Well, so I was, so I asked Representative Daley Provost if she wanted to work together on this, a bipartisan bill coming out of the House. And I actually was surprised that we were able to get it out of committee in the House.
What?
I'm serious. When she got out of committee, I was like, high fives all over the place. Yeah, like, really? You got this out of a House committee?
Were there actually lawmakers who were opposed to it?
Well, there's a heavy lobby from the retail people. So think about this. So you've got people like the convenience stores. I'm not going to name names, but the convenience stores, grocery stores. I mean, these are big industries in Utah, and they make a lot of money off of this. And they were trying to make the case as to why we should be really slow and deliberate and think about this very carefully. And so a lot of legislators, well, maybe we're moving too fast. But over the past 6 months, everything's changed. I don't think anybody on Capitol Hill has any love for the vape manufacturers or for the retailers who make money from selling this stuff anymore.
Yeah, that surprises me because it has felt all along to me that this is Big Tobacco 2.0. It has felt like that. Their game plan, their blueprint, the marketing to the children. It's exactly what we saw out of Big Tobacco. How did we get caught a second time?
I don't know because, you know, well, you saw that. You go back and look at the advertising from the 50s and the 60s, and people are saying, actually, in the 50s, people were advertising saying that tobacco is good for you. It's not only a great thing, it's actually good for you. It's healthy. It's a good thing. And we fell for it. And then we're falling for it again. Oh, these flavors, you know, rainbow unicorn. That's not for kids. That's for adults. Seriously?
And it's a safer alternative to conventional smoking. Kind of the same idea. It's healthy for you. Wink. Kind of. Sort of. It's the exact same pitch, yes, right? With a little bit of a twist. I'm not saying it's good for you, but it's certainly better than tobacco.
Well, when you got two questions going on. One is children, and we absolutely 100% know that it is bad for children. Nicotine is bad for developing brains. It has some long-term lasting impacts on their developmental processes. But then you've got adults who are already addicted to nicotine. Well, all we're seeing is they're just switching from combustible to pods. They're still addicted to nicotine. And so they're really, I mean, yes, there is some slight health benefit to not having the smoke and the tar. But really, they're still addicted to the nicotine, and that's really a problem for them long term. We've got to find a way to get them off the nicotine.
The reason we're talking about vape again today is because the health department has delayed enforcement of an emergency rule that requires vape shops to put warning signs right in the front window there, warning folks who come in about the dangers of vaping THC products, but also would have creates a rule that will ban. Let me see, stores like grocery stores and convenience stores from selling vape juice altogether. Representative Norm Thurston is in the House with us this morning. So what are you going to do to get tough on this issue in the upcoming legislative session, Representative?
So there will be multiple bills. So Representative Daley Provo and I will be running our bill again, which says that if it has a flavor in it, it's for adults and it has to be treated only in specialty shops. I know that there's at least one other representative that just wants to ban all vaping, period. Just you can't vape, you can't sell vape, you can't make money off of vape. So that's going to be out there. We'll have a serious conversation about that. And I don't doubt that this is going to cross over because it came up in a special session, vaping and medical cannabis, because we do allow children to vape medical cannabis. And that question is certainly going to come up again. I think the people who are raising that issue are not going to give up on that.
Really? I hadn't thought about that. So what you're saying is right now, children can vape medical cannabis.
Yes.
If they have
the permits and
permits
all the stuff in place.
And the medical card to do it, and they are approved,
right.
And they get it via prescription from a doctor. I mean, this is regulated, right?
Right.
You're not talking.
Sure.
They can't go out on the street and get this stuff.
Yeah, so now you got this problem. You've got this device that can be used for lots of things. And that's what we said with the school district that found that kids were vaping meth, right? So you got kids, what's in those pods? Nobody knows. Is it nicotine? Is it cannabis? Is it CBD, THC? Is it meth? Is it radiator fluid? I don't know what's
right.
in those things. Nobody knows because they're buying them from so many places that it's unregulated.
Well, and hasn't Utah law really tied the hands of school officials on what they can do with this stuff and how they can punish the kids if they're caught vaping? Does that need to be looked at as well?
Well, it's illegal for a person under soon to be 21. Right now it's 19, moving to 20, moving to 21. It's illegal for a young person to have access to vape products. And so the schools can confiscate them. They can issue citations. But it's a citation. It's kind of like a jaywalking ticket. Like, what does that really deter kids from doing this?
You have your work cut out for you. But I bet you anything, after your last legislation failed in the last session, you're saying, I told you so.
I've said that a couple of times.
I told you so. The vape issue, the vape crisis in Utah grows. When we come back, we're going to ask the American Heart Association about their scathing allegations about how vape shops are skirting the rules right here in Utah to set up shops just too close to our kids' schools. They're accused of violating laws and regulations. How are they doing this? Let's delve into that, Dave.
Debbie, how many times do the vape shops have to say this? They're not marketing to kids. Rainbow unicorn flavor.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic. The vaping industry.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the vaping industry this morning. Here's what we're talking about specifically right now. Are vape shops in Utah using smoke and mirrors to skirt the rules so they can win approval from cities to set up shops closer to our kids' school?
They're called the fake shop. I love it. The fake shot. We're calling you out, folks.
It's the allegation from the American Heart Association that caught my attention, Dave, over the weekend. And they're with us live in studio this morning to walk us through how in the world this is happening.
Yeah, Deb, and I have kids in school. Yeah. I want to learn how vape shops are working the system. Mm. Is it getting more of our kids addicted to these crazy flavors, the nicotine rush, and how do we fix it? I like the idea of raising the smoking age, kind of. Give us your call. How do you feel about raising the smoking age? 801-575-7668.
Smoking age to 21. Does that work for you? We're going to take your calls in the next segment. The allegation is this. Let's spell it out before we get into the live interview with the American Heart Association. According to Utah law, vape shops must be located 1,000 feet from Utah schools. So they sell other stuff like t-shirts and socks. I don't know, other things. Dave, what can you think of?
Hats.
Yeah, headbands. So they can be
bracelets.
So they can categorize their business as a general retailer instead of a tobacco retailer. Kind of brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a workaround, that is what smoke shops, vape shops, everyone's trying to like, oh, no, it's not about the product, it's about all the bells and whistles.
American Heart Association's Mark Watterson in the studio with us live right now to talk about this. So how did you guys figure this out? Did you go out there with a measuring tape and measure the distance, or did you check a city business license to see how they were registering themselves with the city?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we are part of a coalition here in the state called Utah Tobacco Free Utah. And we work with local health departments and with others who, they have responsibility in this as far as compliance. And they brought to our attention saying, hey, you know, we've got, you know, these fake shops out there, as you guys have coined them, that they're manipulating their receipts. They're, you know, trying to throw up a couple of, you know, shirts on the wall to try and skirt around what the current state statute, you know, says in definition is what a tobacco specialty store is. So,
may be as many as 30, according to the Salt Lake, the Salt Lake County Health Department, or the Utah Department of Health, that are operating like this, too close to schools and churches.
Yeah, I mean, so a community location is defined as, you know, a church, a school, a park, even homeless shelters. You know, so really they're looking at trying to protect those more vulnerable populations. That was the intent of the law. And you have these businesses who, their way of trying to skirt around that was to say, yeah, we're just a general retailer. And, you know, we sell shirts or, you know, we sell beanies or sodas. And they also, when you look at their sales receipts, they're manipulating their receipts to make it look like, you know, what they're actually selling isn't what they're selling.
How do we know that, though? I mean, that's extremely difficult unless you have a real investigation going on. It seems like they would be able to justify it pretty easily.
So, we've got, as part of the compliance checks that local health departments do, they work with youth and others, and they even have cities that go out and do their own investigation. So, I'm not sure if there's a camera in here or whatnot, but we've got a receipt, you know, right in front of us that shows, you know, they went into a store to buy a $25 bottle of vape juice. But on the receipt, it says that they spent $4.99 on the vape juice, and then $20 is for an accessory, is what it says on the sales receipt. Oh. And so it's $25, and it's taxed the same, but...
We have no idea what that accessory is.
There was, so the box that it came in was the only thing that they bought. The only thing that they walked out with.
Was the vape juice.
Was a vape juice. And so they've labeled it as an accessory so that it only says, hey, you know, our receipts say that we only have 20% of this sale that is attributed to the tobacco product, where state code says that you can't have more than 35% of your total sales be associated with tobacco products. So that's how they're getting around this.
Mark Watterson is with the American Heart Association. He contacted me late last week to talk about this issue on our show today because it is so important. We just have no idea as parents that there are some laws in place that say that, you know, these vape shops cannot be located within 1,000 feet of our kids' schools. But yet, what the American Heart Association is alleging is that this has been going on. In fact, there are 30, perhaps as many as 30 vape shops that are located too close to schools and churches and places, and they're skirting Utah laws and city rules by manipulating their business licenses and saying they're a general retailer instead of a tobacco retailer. These are some scathing allegations. I think this is important for us to talk about because the question came to my mind, well, if the vape shop is so close to the school, is that getting more of our kids addicted to vaping because they can just run during lunch and grab some vape and head back? Although, let me just say this, let me add this, Mark, grocery stores have been allowed to sell it as well as convenience stores, as well.
Yeah, and, you know, research has shown that proximity plays a huge issue, or plays a huge part as far as, you know, access and usage to tobacco products. You know, that's true for youth, that's true for adults as well. I mean, they've had some studies have even shown that, you know, people who have quit smoking, that the closer that a tobacco retailer is to them, the more likely they are to actually go back to start smoking again. So proximity is a huge issue and something that we just want to make sure is actually enforced here in the state. I think a lot of parents would be appalled to learn that, you know, Joe's smoke shop or vape shop that, you know, is down around the corner from them is actually considered a general retailer and not a tobacco specialty store because of how they've tried to manipulate this system.
And they would have to follow different rules if they were listed as a tobacco specialty store than they do as a general retailer.
Absolutely. And that's one of the great things about this new rule that the Department of Health is rolling out is that rather than try to define a smoke shop or a vape shop by, you know, what percentage of your sales are or your floor space, it's saying, okay, we're going to put in definition by what you sell. So if you are selling a flavored tobacco product or a flavored e-cigarette product, then you have to be a tobacco specialty store so that compliance officers can go in and say, all right, we spot that on the shelf. You've got to pull it off.
We want you to stick around. Mark Watterson with the American Heart Association to talk about in the next segment, upping the legal age to buy vape products and tobacco to 21. And wondering what our listeners, whether they agree or disagree with that, 801-575-7668. In the meantime...
Just in, the House Intelligence, Foreign Affairs, and Oversight Committees have subpoenaed the Pentagon and the White House Office of Management and Budget for documents related to President Trump's efforts to push Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden.
And now what this all means, as we're reading different national news sources about that, this is that the committees are probing whether Trump froze U.S. military aid to Ukraine in order to pressure its government to investigate Biden and his son over unsubstantiated corruption allegations.
The subpoena compels the two agencies to turn over documents by October 15th. That's only about a week away. So we'll continue to follow that story every step of the way.
Next, your turn to talk, 801-575-7668. Utah lawmakers have increased the smoking age to 21, but it's not set to take effect until 2021, almost 2 years from now. Should they bump that up? Should it happen sooner? 801-575-7668.
It's 1029. Stick around. News, traffic, and weather is next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dan Dijanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. The vaping industry.
A stunning revelation in the last segment, if you missed it, has to do with vaping. And if you feel as though there's a vape shop that's a little too close to your kids'
in your
school,
backyard, yeah.
We uncovered why. According to the American Heart Association, there's a lot of information out there that is now pointing the finger at vape shops that are erroneously marking themselves as a general business on their business license instead of a tobacco retailer.
Yeah, we're calling them the fake shops. Yeah. And this is how you know you're in a fake shop. If the t-shirt that is hanging in the window is completely sun bleached and they've never sold that thing, well, they're probably not just selling t-shirts, folks.
When I walked into a vape shop recently, I looked around and wondered, oh my goodness, what is this place exactly? Because it seems like they're selling lots of other things, maybe something that you'd pick up as a souvenir, a bracelet, a headband. We have Mark Watterson from the American Heart Association sitting across from Dave and I. He stopped by to talk about this issue. And y'all have been uncovering this and wanting to talk about it and finally reached out to me just a couple of days ago because you felt like this word about these fake shops just hadn't gotten out through the media yet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and really the tipping point came in reading some news coverage lately, you know, about this new rule that the state is doing and seeing some of the vape shop owners that were saying, well, you know, this is 65% of my sales. You know, what am I supposed to do? And actually looking them up and seeing that, you know, they are actually licensed as a general retailer. You know, no more than 35% of their sales should be tobacco related. And yet they're out there openly stating that this is 65% or more of their sales. And it, to me, it was like, okay, the public's got to understand that, you know, this isn't shutting down the shops. This is saying, listen, you knew that you were a vape shop. You know, you quack like a duck, you walk like a duck, you met every other definition, and yet you've been trying to skirt around state law on this one, and now they're finally calling you out on it.
Is this a surprise? Is this a fair surprise? Because if I'm a shop owner and I'm just looking at dabbling a little bit and then you're kind of surprised that it blows up, how responsible are the shop owners to know this? Is this common knowledge if you're a retailer?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, in speaking with some health departments, they've actually had shops that apply as they want a specialty store license, and they're denied because of where their location is. So they come back and say, okay, we're just going to be a general retailer now. And so they throw up a few shirts or whatnot on their walls or on their shelves and, you know, start manipulating their receipts to try and make it look like, oh, yeah, we're absolutely a general
retailer.
But
they're selling lots of t-shirts and headbands and socks as opposed to how much vape juice they're selling.
That's what they could claim. But like you mentioned, you know, if you're looking at a shop and that sunbleached shirt hasn't moved for a couple of years because it's not flying off the shelves, might be a good indication of what is actually being sold.
If you're
there.
Just joining us, that we're talking to Mark Watterson with the American Heart Association, talking about state law requires tobacco retailers to be within 1,000 feet of a school.
So outside.
Outside.
Yep.
Okay. Outside of a school. So I guess you take a measuring tape, and if they're, you know, 999 feet, they're too close to a school. And you say the reason that they're skirting this rule is they're manipulating their business licenses at the city level to show that they are a general retailer as opposed to a tobacco retailer. Let's move on to some of the other things that we wanted to discuss with you, Mark, about how would we get a handle in this state on this problem. One of the things that Utah law is going to kick in 2021 is to raise the tobacco age to 21. Is 2021 soon enough?
Absolutely not. I mean, if we know it's a tobacco is really fascinating. It's the only product that's legally allowed on the market that, if used as intended, gets people sick and ultimately kills them. only product out there. That, I mean, if it were a new product out here and they were trying to go through some kind of approval, there's absolutely no way they would be allowed on the market. And yet, because of history or the money that's involved, you know, we allow it. Or I wouldn't say that we allow it as a heart association, but it's allowed in society.
Yeah, by law, we're fine. We're fine with it. We've kind of accepted and we've made our peace on some level with tobacco. But one of the things that we've heard from legislators, they want to increase the tax. Will taxing vape products, will that help curb some of the popularity, and will that reduce usage?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the data is pretty consistent that for every 10% increase in the real price of cigarettes or other tobacco products, adult smoking goes down by 2%. Young adult smoking goes down by 3.5%. And for kids, that number drops by 7%. So we absolutely know that raising the taxes on tobacco products is an effective way of stifling usage and driving down the usage rates for all users in all ages.
It just gets too expensive for everyone.
Yeah, and especially with youth, they are they're very price sensitive. I mean, it's not like they're pulling in the big bucks, you know, as a teenager. So every little bit that increases makes it harder for them to obtain these products, which frankly are illegal for youth to use.
Mark Watterson with the American Heart Association. Thank you so much. Wow. Very stunning last two segments. And we're going to continue to follow those developments on vape shops being accused of being too close to our kids' schools. Next, he's 21 years old and had a clean record until he slept through jury duty and the judge threw him in jail. We'll delve into his punishment for missing his alarm clock. You'll probably think his punishment was way too harsh.
It's 10:44. Stick around. We're back in just a few minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic.